Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormRx, and today we're going to be talking about dosing errors, which is a surprisingly common problem, particularly with liquid dosage forms, and these errors can lead to significant patient harm. My guest today is Amanda Capino, a pediatric clinical pharmacy specialist at the University of Mississippi Medical Center and one of my colleagues here at the University of Mississippi School of Pharmacy. A study recently published in the Journal of Pediatrics examined the frequency of large dosing errors when using different dosing tools for liquid dosage forms. Dr. Capino wrote a commentary for iFormRx entitled, Preventing Pediatric Dosing Errors. Is it time to dump the medicine cup? Amanda, thanks for joining me today for the iFormRx podcast.
Thank you very much for having me today.
So Amanda, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less, the study entitled Liquid Medication Errors and Dosing Tools, a randomized controlled experiment published in the October issue of Pediatrics, to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
Sure. This was a randomized control study to evaluate how dosing error rates are affected by measuring tool characteristics such as a measuring cup or syringe. And additionally, they examined if a discordance between units of measurement on labels and different devices resulted in more errors. Caregivers, both English or Spanish speaking, were eligible to participate and were randomized to one of five different groups. And the groups varied in terms of the way the measuring units were displayed on the label and measuring device. Per the American Academy of Pediatric Recommendations, the gold standard was defined as the group that had milliliters on both the medication label and measuring device. The caregivers were given 9 different labels and 3 different measuring devices, those being a 10-mil syringe with either 0.2 milliliter markings or 0.5 millimeter markings, and then a 30 milliliter dosing cup. And then they were asked to measure 3 different doses, those being 2.5, 5, and 7.5 milliliters with each device. And ultimately, 2,099 caregivers completed the dose assessments. All in all, 84.4% of caregivers unfortunately made at least one dosing error. All of the dosing devices were associated with errors, but the dosing cup was noted to be have significantly more likely to have errors.
So what do you believe are the key strengths and weaknesses of this study? And are there any potential confounders present in the study that you believe may have impacted the results?
I would say strengths of the study were that it was randomized and prospective in nature. And additionally, the study was offered in 2 languages, which gave Spanish-speaking caregivers the opportunity to participate as well. And furthermore, the study did require caregivers to actually interpret various medication labels. And the study also evaluated error rates with various medication labels, measuring devices, and doses. I would say weaknesses of this study were it was not blinded and that there could be variability in the interpretation of a dosing error. And the data ultimately may not be generalizable to all patients because select measurements were evaluated in this study. And sometimes smaller doses or different increments may be required for patients, which could potentially be more challenging for caregivers to measure. And I'd say potential confounders could be that the results at home could actually be different than what was simulated in this study, because in this study, it was a more focused environment, free of distractions you may have at home.
So the results of the study, Amanda, suggest that parents who were given oral syringes rather than a medicine cup are less likely to make large dosing errors. Do you find the results compelling? And do you think we should stop providing medicine cups with oral medicines? And do you think this is a problem that's unique to pediatrics?
I would say that the results were compelling. I think that we all recognize that, unfortunately, errors do occur. However, the study did serve as a great reminder. And ultimately, I think that the study emphasizes that there isn't just one variable that contributes to errors, but rather it is multifactorial. And I'm definitely in the opinion that we should not give caregivers and children a medicine cup to dose the medication. And this really is supported by the results of this study. And dispensing of a dosing cup really does open up the door for not only errors, but significant errors. For example, if a child requires a 1 milliliter dose of a medication and the caregiver only has a 30 milliliter dosing cup, this not only is nearly impossible to accurately measure, but if the caregiver misinterprets the dosing instructions and gives the whole cup, that could be a significant overdose. And I would say that this problem is unique to pediatrics. There may be some instances in which an adult requires a liquid medication, but however, this is not the norm. Liquid medications are commonly used in our pediatric patients, and since the doses are primarily weight-based, there can be a lot of variability in the doses given, and sometimes may require tiny doses that we wouldn't necessarily have in the adult population.
So in your commentary, you start with a patient case, a child who's been prescribed an antibiotic. Now, in most cases, giving a child 20% or even 50% more than the prescribed dose of an antibiotic is unlikely to result in significant harm. But there are some drugs where a 20% overdose is far more likely to result in harm. And if the dose were doubled, as was observed in nearly 6% of the patients using a medicine cup in this study, it could prove to be fatal. From your perspective, what liquid medications commonly used in pediatrics today are you most concerned about, and what strategies would you recommend we use to minimize the chance of dosing error when these medications are prescribed and dispensed?
Of course, we don't want errors to occur as pharmacists, but some can definitely be more significant than others. First, it's important to think about the particular agents provided in the liquid form. Some of particular concern are those drugs with narrow therapeutic indexes, such as phenobarbital and phenytoin, which we commonly use for seizures, and also digoxin, which we can use in our patients with arrhythmias. And in these cases, really a slight mismeasure could make a significant difference. Other medications to use extra care with are narcotics. A dosing error really could result in over-sedation or even respiratory depression. And additionally, other prescription medications to be cautious of are antihypertensives, such as amlodipine, because an error could result in either uncontrolled hypertension or a hypotensive event. And in addition to prescription medications, it is important to use caution when measuring over-the-counter medications as well, because these can come in liquid forms too. Two commonly used agents in children are acetaminophen and ibuprofen, and too high of a dose could result in hepatic dysfunction for acetaminophen or even bleeding with ibuprofen, especially if these maximum doses are exceeded. And in addition to the agent itself, it is important to think about the degree of the error, specifically evaluating the concentration of the medication, milligrams per mil, because a slight mismeasure could be a significant difference in very concentrated medications. And of note, several antibiotics, such as amoxicillin, come in multiple different concentrations, so it's always key to know what concentration we're prescribing. And additionally, one tick difference on a syringe could range really from 0.1 milliliters to 1 milliliter difference, depending on the syringe size we use. And even though a 0.1 difference may not seem significant, if the patient's dose was only supposed to be 0.1 mil and you give 0.2 mils, that's a doubling of the dose. In terms of strategies, I would first work with physicians to prescribe a dose that is measurable. And ideally a whole number, if possible, but I know this is not always feasible. But of note, the results in this study did say there were less errors associated with the 5 milliliter dose compared to the 2.5 and 7.5 milliliters. Then I would ensure that the caregiver is provided with an oral syringe in a size that makes sense. For example, I wouldn't want to give a 30 milliliter syringe to a caregiver if the dose was 2 milliliters, because this just adds extra room for error. And I would also want to make sure that the dose is written in milliliters and milligrams, and that the drug concentration is listed to make sure we can cover all our bases and make sure the milligrams and milliliters match for the associated concentration. Furthermore, if possible, I would have the medication dispensed in pre-filled syringes. Some pharmacies for a small fee will actually pre-fill syringes for patients, or make sure when we send home syringes for the caregivers that they are marked with the correct dose. This way we can help reduce errors. And then really, after the medication and devices are ready for the caregiver, I would spend a lot of time with the caregiver to provide adequate counseling. I would want to discuss with the caregiver the medication, the dose in milliliters and milligrams, the markings on the syringe, and then demonstrate how to measure it. But equally as important is to employ the teach-back method with the caregiver to assess for understanding. So I would want to see them being able to measure the correct dose and then see if there's any questions or concerns they may have where I can kind of fill in gaps of misunderstanding to help them be prepared.
Well, Amanda, I want to thank you for joining us today to discuss the use of various tools and strategies to minimize the risk of errors when liquid oral medications are prescribed. It's clear from your comments that we should probably stop using medicine cups as a means to measure medications, but there are many other strategies we should be employing to ensure that patients can measure the dose of a liquid medication accurately. Well, tell us what you think. Remember, only iPharmRx members can leave comments and access our growing list of resource pages. You can become a member of iPharmRx. It's free. Sign up today. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iPharmRx, signing off.